I love homosexuals, if you can believe that. I love them enough to tell them the truth, because I know that there is hope for the homosexuals, that if they're willing to turn from sin the same as any individual, that that they can be ex-homosexuals the same as there can be an ex-murderer, an ex-thief, or ex-anybody.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Today is the 6th month, the 29th day in the year 2018. It's the feast day of Saints Peter and Paul, the two pillars of the Catholic Church. And we're giving a special lecture this day according to recent events that have taken place here in TRC. TRC, that's the initials for Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, which is where my house is. But I also have a ranch out on the outskirts of Williamsburg, which is about 4.5 miles away from TRC. Now, the title of this lecture is The Proper Way to Protest an LGBT Parade, March. Well, they finally came to TRC. It's the first time since they've ever had a gay parade, a homo parade. And so this is the first year they ever tried, got one together. So when I read that, man, my hair went up, you know, and I said, we got to get these people because they're coming to my town now. But we'll get into that in a second. First, I'm going to show you the advertisement, okay? Up on the screen there. And they call it the Pride March. And the homos were marching all over, you know. That's their day when they march, which was on the 6th month, the 16th day. And they march in all the big cities. And now, as I said, this is the first time they ever are marching in TRC. And they said, march to the Healing Water Plaza at 10 a.m. Meet at the Triangle by the dog park for sign making. Materials provided and donations are appreciated. All are welcome. Whoever you are and whoever you love, we welcome all who want to join us in celebrating our community. It says, join Truth or Consequences Pride. Now, the Herald, we have two newspapers. The Herald is more liberal. The Sentinel is more Republican and conservative, more religious. And Sentinel did not even advertise it. Now, the Herald didn't advertise it neither, but they would have, but they didn't find out till it was too late. So what they did is the Herald, they put it up on their Facebook and they advertised it on their Facebook, the Herald newspaper. And they said here, first time. You can see it here on the screen, first ever TRC parade. And it says, I think I overlooked putting this in tomorrow's edition of the Herald. My apologies to the organizers if the oversight wasn't caught by anyone else. He's saying I don't think he really overlooked it. There's enough people even on the Herald that don't want to. There's a lot of conservative people in this town, and they don't like what's going on. And you're going to get the gist of this, and they didn't want to put it in the Herald. So then now they put it on Facebook, okay? The Herald put it at least on the Facebook. Now, to get this parade going, they imported people, some freaks, to come over here, some revolutionary, anarchist, freaky people that love to protest to get this thing going. And the main person that they brought on, and they even said that, you'll see later on, that the new people came into town just recently, and they're the ones that got this parade to go. One of the main ones is, I'll just read from what I have here. In the 5th month, 2018, a girl that tried to transgender to a boy changed her mind and transgendered back to being a lesbian girl, got her marching orders to move from Seattle, Washington to Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, to infiltrate our little city with homosexuals and their supporters. She goes by the name Sly Vogel and lives here with her mother and lesbian girlfriend. Also a newcomer infiltrator from New Orleans, Louisiana, whose name is Anna Louise, but goes by the name Charlie when she arrived in TRC. Sly Vogel immediately started the Facebook group, Truth or Consequences Pride. Sly Vogel, together with a prominent lesbian of Truth or Consequences, Barbara Bennett, organized the first ever gay parade on the 16th day of 2018. The world famous, should be really notorious, abominable homosexual artist, Delamas Howe, who lives in TRC, was also present and given a place of honor as the Grand Marshal and driven in the parade in a convertible driven by Sly Vogel's mother. Delamas Howe is known for his homosexual art and paintings of homosexual cowboys. He has also painted an abominable series of homosexual Stations of the Cross as a slam against Christianity and retaliation for his homosexual boyfriend dying of AIDS. These are the people that are participating in this parade. Now, let me show you a picture of some of these people. Take a look at this. Now, the first thing that when I came to the building, and we were protesting them, and we were on the other side of the street, and we looked at them, I said, you know what? This sort of makes you kind of believe that there might be life on other planets. If it wasn't for the dogma that there isn't life on other planets, there isn't life on other planets. But if it wasn't for that Catholic dogma, I would have really thought that there's life on another planet. You look at these people, and I don't know where they came from. It's nothing of this earth. Basically, they're coming from hell, really, is the more technical thing. When you look at them, you say, like that heretic Lagrange Garange said that there's life on other planets. When you look at these people, you go, they're not humans, they're not animals, they're it. More basically, they come from hell. And they also remind you of modern art, right? Modern art is made so you can't figure out what you're looking at. It's a bunch of chaos, a bunch of blob, a bunch of disorganized chaos. That's what they look like, modern art. The purpose of modern art is to destroy God's order, to bring in chaos and ugliness. Just take a look at these freaks. All right, now, I'm not trying to get rid of... I don't pretend that our protest is going to end homos from reigning in this world. It's the days of the Antichrist. They are in power now, and they're going to come to power even more. So I'm not pretending that we're going to stop it, but we have to make... And I'm not pretending that I'm going to go to every other city to do this. I don't have time to do it, first of all. But I'll tell you one thing. If we had enough Catholics... And we only have a few of us right here in TRC. The only Catholics I know in the whole world is our little group. And that's why I said, they're coming into my town. They're coming into the place where the Catholic Church is. The Catholic Church is now in TRC, and they're threatening our immediate area. And so that's why it was our duty and our obligation to get out there and protest all, how many are there, 12 of us or 13? 12, right? So there's only 12 of us in the church right now. But that, you know, you'll see later on, they thought we made such a stink, they thought we were like a crowd. But anyway, that's why I'm doing it here. And if I had other Catholics living in these other big cities, I would tell them, you got to go out and protest. Every Catholic, you got that sap anti-pope, you got the sap anti-cardinals, and the nominal Catholic bishops, nobody's protesting against these parades. They love them. They support them. They don't say anything about it. In every major city, wherever Catholics are living, they should actually go out there and protest. If we had like millions of Catholics, or at least 100,000 or some Catholics, I would organize big protests. But unfortunately, we don't have it. Only 12 of us. But I'm mostly concerned about trying to get this town pure and to keep it pure and so it doesn't get worse. Because if you don't protest something like this the proper way, it only gets worse. And because you're allowing them to blaspheme God first and foremost, and you're allowing them to influence other people. So that's the reason why we really said, this one we got to attack. This is against the natural law, by the way, folks. I'm not even going to call this like a Catholic way to protest. It's even pagans can protest the way we're going to protest. It's natural law. Even Attila the Hun would have protested this thing, pagan as he is. This homosexuality, transgender, creeps. Even good-willed people with the natural law would protest them. Now, we're talking about public, obstinate homosexuals and transgenders. All transgenders are public and obstinate, so they wouldn't do it. But some homos are ashamed of what they're doing. And I don't even call it, if you're ashamed of what you're doing as a homosexual and you know what you're doing is a sin, you're not even really a homo. You're a human being who's committing homo sins. But you know it's wrong. The people that incorporate the whole sin into their entire being, people say, I am a homosexual and they're proud of it. They're proud of it. They believe that God even created them that way. But these are the homosexuals that we're attacking first and foremost. The ones that are public, the ones that are obstinate, the ones that are out there in your face, and they're telling you this is okay. Because that's not just a sin of immorality. That's a sin of heresy. That's right, because God didn't create you that way. That's like trying to come out. If I came out and said adultery is not a mortal sin and it's okay with God, I'm a heretic. I'm not only condoning immorality, I'm also a heretic. So these homos that are, and transgenders that are out there in public are not only extremely immoral, they're also heretics. According to our faith, the true faith of the Catholic God, they're heretics. They're denying basic dogmas even of the natural law. They have to be resisted staunchly when it comes to this type of immorality that they're shoving in your face. So we read it and I said, we got on the horn and said, we got to protest these people. And we only learned about it about a week before it happened.
3 days.
3 days before it happened. But you'll see how we organize. And I'm going to let this be an example of people on the proper way to protest the homo parade, not the improper way. You're going to learn both ways. Now, as we're getting to get into right now. Now, we have a lot of Protestant churches around here, right? And they're supposed to be conservative, like right-wing conservative, nominal Christians. They're not true Christians, but they're still conservative, like evangelicals and Southern Baptists. I don't think we do got some evangelical groups here. But there's about five or six, I'm going to name them in here, Protestant groups that are in town here. And we figured, hey, well, they started to make a stink about it, you know, when they first heard about it. And they're putting out stuff on the Facebook and trying to gather a march. I read first their efforts, which in the beginning sounded good. And we were willing to join with them. We wouldn't pray with them, but we would join in their protests. But you're going to see why that didn't happen. So what happened in the beginning, when we were talking to these Protestants on the emails and by telephone, and we were trying to say, and we already realized that they were going to get together. They said, hey, we're not going to, they told Brother Will was the one who was contacting them. And they said, we're not going to be, because one of his bosses, when he works at the chili factories down there, is a Protestant, conservative kind of, and he told Will, and they were talking, he says, we're not going to be a sleeping church, we're going to get out there and we're going to protest them, we're going to go out there. So we said, that's good, you know. And I said, Will, you know, find out, you know, when their march is going to be, we can join with them, we'll make up our signs, but we can't pray with them, but we certainly can join together on this cause, just like for anti-abortion rallies, we can join with Protestants and even pagans or even Jews, Orthodox Jews, if they want to protest against abortion. So we were willing to protest along with them so we can add the numbers, but just not pray with them. When you do that, too, you get a chance to witness to them. They say, hey, this Mary's little remnants of goodwill. Because people of goodwill, they want to see you out there if you're of goodwill. If you're staying home and you're not making yourself visible when it's in your own neighborhood, it don't look good for you. But as you're going to find out, these Protestants are wimps. Non-judgmental wimps. Non-judgmental, wimpy people. And it surprised me even because you have a Southern Baptist church. You're known to be kind of conservative and everything. But when it comes to going out in there and doing things public, here's what happened. They found out we were going to get involved in it because they know about us. And that we were going to, yeah. All right, I'm going to let Brother Will discuss this because he's the one that dealt with them.
Okay.
And he'll tell you what happened.
Okay. So what happened was the Wednesday before the march, which was St. Anthony of Padua's feast day, Sister Marie found on the Herald's Facebook that this was going to come to fruition, this march, March for Jesus. And what happened was I worked down at a chili plant around nearby, and my boss is a Protestant preacher. And what happened was I texted him after I found out from Sister Marie about this march. I texted him to see what was going on. And he texted back and he said, well, yeah, I was going to call you and let you know about this and that. We're planning on going down there and you know, we're going to do this thing. So I needed to, I said, do you want, he asked me, so then he asked me on the text, he said, do you want to join us? Well, I said, well, let me get back to you. Let me check on this. So what happened, I took some counsel seeing how I was going to do it. And he directed me to this guy, Caleb Cooper, Pastor Caleb Cooper, who is the New Hope Revival guy. We were talking about what they were going to be doing. He wasn't going to show up. But then what happened was he just found out, Angel, my boss, had just found out the Sunday before. And Caleb was telling him, oh, we don't want to be sleeping churches. We got to stand up for this and that. And my boss said, oh, okay, I'll just tell it to my church. Well, my boss didn't go, but he preached it to his church. But this guy, Pastor Caleb Cooper, was the big ringleader on this. And so what happened was he gave me Caleb's number to text him because he says he doesn't talk on the phone. You know, you got to text him because he doesn't do phone calls. So, and he said, oh, tell him who sent you to. So that's what I did. I texted this guy, Caleb, and basically was to introduce myself, said, you know, we'd be interested in wanting to, you know, help you, or, you know, I mean, to be with you to march on this thing. Well, right away he got a little nervous because, you know, we were saying, well, you know, can we do signs and petitions and stuff like that? And he didn't like that because we were going to do our own signs, and they had his own agenda that they wanted to do. So when I told him we were going to do signs with Bible verses on it and condemning homosexuality. Well, he got all nervous. And then when we told him, well, you know, we're not a 501(c), we're not like a taxpayer thing. That really did it. He really went off. He's like, uh-oh, who are these people? So he ended up calling my boss and trying to tell him to talk to me, saying, hey, you better back off. Or my boss, I ended up getting a text from my boss after I was texting Caleb saying, oh, Willie, just hold up their signs, you know, this and that. And their signs were like, Jesus is Lord of New Mexico, Jesus the answer. I mean, okay, but it never condemned them, you know what I mean? It was just like, we're going to get them and we're going to hook them in, you know. That was their whole idea. We're going to do our march, and then through love, you know, we're going to go and have our thing at the Healing Waters, and we're going to give them burritos and, you know, come on, but never condemn them. I mean, it was crazy. So we were like, well, no, this is what we want to do. So anyway, okay, so what happened was...
That's what he wrote after you started.
Yeah, right.
After talking to you, this is
exactly. 20 minutes after you texted him.
So it was about a half hour after we had this exchange, and then, you know, Angel tried to text me to try to bridle me. Then he comes out on his Facebook. Caleb, Pastor Cooper, came out on his Facebook, and I ended up getting this, but I didn't know this until later. He sent it to my Facebook, too. But he's like, all cap locks, attention all churches involved in the March for Jesus. I want to make sure the vision for Saturday is clear. We'll be marching for Jesus Christ, lifting up the name above all names over New Mexico. Though a pride march is happening on the same day, our focus is not to protest their march. So right there, that tells you right there. Oh, they were gonna protest. So what are you doing then? You just happen to have a protest or a march on the same, whatever. So then our focus is the power of Jesus Christ to transform our city. Therefore, no signs, banners, or flags other than what we provide will be allowed in the March for Jesus. Churches involved in the March for Jesus will have no hate signs, disrespectful signs, or protesting signs like ours, you know, we're considered hate, right? Yeah, exactly. Leviticus 20:13, Leviticus 18:22, you know, remember Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, yeah. Oh, that's hate to them. And these are so-called Christians. Anyway, disrespectful signs or protesting signs. Oh, okay. So it's just a walk in the street one day, I guess. Walk in the park, I guess. You're not even going to do anything. Okay. Once again, our vision is to march for Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, followed by a unified worship and prayer at the Healing Waters Plaza. To the Pride community, we will have free breakfast burritos and cold drinks available for you. And then we may just say something to you. I don't know. But if you have Jesus in your heart, I guess we can't really condemn you then. If you have a personal relationship with Jesus, I guess it's not bad then. I don't know what they would even say. They're retarded. So when would you do that? Oh, as they're walking out there. Oh, by the way, you can't do it. Yeah, as they already ate and they drank and they're already gone. Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, it's retarded. Anyway, so around 11 to 12:30, we have free hot dogs for the community. Our faith does not rest in the wisdom of man. Here's his little jab at us, because he tried to, like, because we're I told him we're Catholic. So here's what he said to us at the end. Our faith doesn't rest in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. Like, we're a tradition of men. I know how they think.
Yeah.
Get out of here. Mm-hmm. So then click going. It's better than interested. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, because people were clicking. They were going to go. Or
oh, interest, okay.
He just wanted to say they were going.
All right. So pretty much that's about it, though. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wimpy.
Thank you, Brother Will. Well, let's educate these stupid Protestants. They're not even really good Protestants. No Protestant is good. You know? They're all evil. Protestants are all bad will. This is just more proof of it. But this is, I mean, I don't know, 10 years ago you didn't go to a Protestant talking like that. He says he believes in the Bible, right? What does the Bible talk about sins of omission? What does the Bible teach about sin? What does the Bible teach about obstinate sinners? It's our duty to condemn sin and to denounce sinners and call them to repentance. Yes, we need the grace of God, number one, but you also need preaching. St. Paul said in Romans 10:14, I think, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. And if you don't preach to them, if you don't condemn them, if you don't denounce them, and if you don't call them to conversion, I don't even want to call you a nominal Christian. I don't know what to call you. You're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite for even pretending to be a Christian. What does it say, Leviticus 5:1? If anyone sin or hear the voice of one swearing, and he is a witness or privy to it, if he utter it not, he will bear his iniquity. What does the holy prophet Ezekiel, God speaking to Ezekiel, says, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman to the house of Israel, and that shall hear the word out of my mouth, and that shall tell it to them from me. And when I shall say to the wicked man, thou shalt surely die, and thou tell it not to him, nor speak to him, that he be converted from his wicked and evil ways, he will die in his iniquity, but I will require his blood at your hands. But if you warn the wicked man, and he still does not convert from his iniquity, he indeed will die his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy own soul. Have these Protestants warned them? Not only have they not warned them, you'll see later when they had their parade, not one sign of condemnation, and it wasn't even a protest against them. They weren't even protesting it. It was like, we're side by side with you. And this is a public, obstinate, one of the grossest sins that you can ever imagine. And when we saw them parade by, I didn't even see any of their signs. They were quiet. They never said anything. They never condemned them. They never denounced them. And they treated them as brothers. That's what they did. And Jesus said in Luke 17:3, if thy brother sin against thee, reprove him. If he repent, forgive him. So there was no preaching. What does he think? That you're just going to sit in the church and pray and not going to do anything? You know, prayer is number one. I agree. And grace, yes. Prayer and grace. Grace number one, then prayer, but then action, then preaching. Because if you don't preach, you're a hypocrite. You're not a man of God. You're a coward. And you're not giving glory to God and making reparation for the blasphemies against God. You're not speaking up for the citizens that are watching this so the kids can know how bad this is. So what good are these people? This was a real surprise to me. I was totally disappointed by them. Really. I know Protestants are bad and they're going there, but these guys are worse than even Protestants 30, 40 years ago, maybe, who would have done something. Everybody's become so non-judgmental. Now, they certainly didn't do what the prophet Isaiah said in Isaiah 58:1. Cries, cease not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their wicked doings, and the house of Jacob their sins. Did you do that, you Protestants? Did you do that? You didn't say Bo Peep. You even condoned and you said nothing. And when you, by your silence, you even said it. We're not protesting them. So that means all those Protestants are homosexuals. In God's eyes, you're a homo. Because you support them. And you didn't want us there. Well, this only proves one thing, the divide. I still would have marched with them if they were correct. But they're not correct. You understand? We can never march in a parade like that. We would have committed humongous sins of omission. And they committed sins of association by feeding them at the end and having a bit, dancing with them and not rebuking them. These are public and obstinate sinners. When Jesus ate with sinners, they were not committing their horrible crimes in the midst of his preaching to them. He would never went into a house when a fornicate in front of them. What these people did out in public was public fornication, public homosexuality, public transgenderism in public. So now we're beginning to learn the proper way. Just through a few Bible verses. I could quote at least 100 more of these Bible verses where you have to condemn sin, denounce sinners, and call them to conversion. So hence, for a proper protest, you have to sharply condemn obstinate, unrepentant homosexuals and transgenders. This is what you saw in that parade, because they're not afraid to hide it. Isaiah said that in Isaiah 3:9. He says, they have proclaimed abroad their sin as Sodom, and they have not hid it. Woe to their souls, for evils are rendered to them. What about that, Mr. Protestant? Even if you just quoted that verse, right? So you got to properly protest this, you have to sharply rebuke them, sharply condemn their sin, sharply denounce them as sinners. We read about this in Titus 1:13, where St. Paul says, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound of faith. 1 Timothy 5:20, St. Paul says, them that sin before all, reprove that all may have fear. This also puts the fear of God in other people, children and young people may fall into this sin. They can see there's another side to this. They don't have to go along with this. It's first to give glory to God, to make reparation or blasphemy, then for the people, our own souls, because if we didn't do it, we commit sins of omission, and then for other people so they don't fall into those sins. And then for even the people that we're preaching to for their conversion. What the Protestants did when the whole thing is all over, you'll see as this goes on, all the blowback on this. They didn't get no blowback. We're the ones that got all the blowback because we did the right thing. And this is another heresy you hear today, and it's in all these mushy, nominal Christian churches, and not just them. It's like almost in the whole democratized world, at least, where you have to welcome, respect, or honor obstinate, unrepentant homos and transgenders. We do not welcome homos as homos. We don't respect them as homos, and we don't honor them as homos. No way. We abhor them, and we condemn them. All right? We love them as human beings, but we don't love them as homos. God does not love homosexuals. He loves the human beings who happen to be homosexuals. That's a big addendum. You don't go around, it's heresy to say God loves murderers. God loves adulterers. He doesn't. He loves the human being who happens to be an adulterer. He loves the human being who happens to be a homo. He loves the human being who happens to be a transgender. God does not love you in your sin. And this is what they're trying to make you believe, that God loves them even the way they are. That's the big heresy, and they said he welcomed them. First of all, even in the Catholic Church, you do not welcome anybody into your Catholic camp, a sinner, unless he's repentant. St. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 5:11, if anybody who's called a brother is a fornicator, don't even eat with them. Don't even eat with them. And St. Paul says, and these particular homos and transgenders are also are denying basic dogmas. He says, I beseech you, brethren, to mark those who make dissensions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them, not welcome them, avoid them. We don't even welcome into our camp any non-Catholics. Catechumens, yes, and acquirers, they can come in a limited degree to hear preaching, but we do not welcome any obstinate sinners into a Catholic church. If they're in obstinate sins, that means they're not confessing them, they're not repentant, and they're casted out, like St. Paul when he cast out the incestuous man. And then when he repented, he let him back in. We don't welcome them, we don't honor or respect them as homos, we abhor them as homos. Now you're going to go to a clip and find some of these people teaching this stuff. What did Jesus even say? If thy brother sin against thee, reprove him. If he do penance, forgive him. If he do penance, if he repent. They're welcoming these homos into their churches, making them believe that they're okay and God loves them as homos. The minute you say you're a homo, that's heresy. You may be committing homo sins. That's how closely they associate with that sin. A person who's ashamed of it doesn't want to be called that. That's how closely they're associated with it. The nominal Catholic Church is worst of all on this. These Norrisotto bastards, these faggots, these homo pedophilia priests, anti-cardinals, nominal Catholic bishops, the anti-pope in Rome, that faggot piece of crap, they're all a bunch of homo supporters. And they pull the crap that, well, as long as you don't do the homo thing, you can still be a homo and God loves you. They teach the heresy that God created you to be a homo, which is another heresy. But they're not only welcoming the people in who call themselves homos, which is heresy in itself, they're even welcoming homos that are practicing homos. They're marrying one another, and they're letting them come into these nominal Catholic churches and receive Holy Communion. We're going to go to the clip and show you the evidence of some of these fag birds. We start out here in the Sacred Heart Cathedral in Newark, New Jersey, which I'm originally from. It's a beautiful cathedral, and it's desecrated with these people. And this anti-cardinal said, he says, as church shifts, they say a cardinal welcomes gays. They embrace a miracle. And I'm going to read an article from that by Sharon Otterman on June 13, 2017, Newark. The word pilgrimage usually invokes visions of far-off exotic places. But for some 100 gay and lesbian Catholics and their families, a pilgrimage to the Cathedral Basilica of Sacred Heart here on a recent Sunday was more like a homecoming. The doors to the cathedral were open to them, and they were welcomed personally by the leader of the Archdiocese of Newark, Cardinal, anti-cardinal, Joseph W. Tobin. They were seated on folding chairs at the cathedral center in front of the altar and the towering sanctuary under blue tinted glow lights and stained glass. They put them up in the front. They're exalted beings on top of it. They put them right up in the front. He says, I am Joseph, your brother. Now they're dragging Joseph into this like he would support homos. Anti-Cardinal Tobin, I'm using anti in there, told the group, which included lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender Catholics from around New York and the five dioceses in New Jersey, I am your brother. As a disciple of Jesus, I am your brother. As a sinner who finds mercy with the Lord. They're accepting these unrepentant homos into the church. I'm continuing from the article. The welcoming of a group of openly gay people to Mass by a leader by a leader of Cardinal Tobin standing, anti-cardinal, in the Roman Catholic Church in this country would have been unthinkable even 5 years ago. That's how far we're going down this hill, folks. But anti-cardinal Tobin, whom Pope Francis, anti-Pope Francis, call him a poop, call him a dope, but don't call him a pope. He's an anti-pope and an apostate anti-pope, appointed to Newark last year, is among a small group of growing group of bishops changing now how American churches relate to its gay members. They are seeking to be more inclusive and signaling to subordinate priests that they should do the same. No problem with them to get the priests to go along because they're all homos. They're all homos from the top down to the bottom, from the bottom down to the top. And if they're not homos, they support homos and they have to support homos or they don't become priests. I'll give you one example of a friend of mine in Newark, I will not give his name, that wanted to be a priest. And Archbishop Theodore McCarrick, anti-Archbishop Theodore McCarrick, was the archbishop then in Newark. And my friend John, when he wanted to go to a seminary, they interviewed him about homos. And he said, what do you think about homos? It's an abomination. It's a sin against God. It's homos. And they said, oh, thank you. We'll get back to you later. And they wouldn't let him become a priest because of his dogmas that he held against homos. They would not let him enter the seminary. Now, guess what we just found out recently this week? This week about Archbishop Theodore McCarrick. I wrote him many letters, man. When I was converting, I was dealing with him, condemning him, writing letters back and forth. This bastard, just this week, is the first anti-cardinal, I think, in the United States, or maybe, I don't even know, it's a big shot. He got caught, and he's a homosexual. He molested a teenage boy about 25 years ago when he was in New York diocese, and his credible evidence, it was on the news. And then, also when he was in Newark, he had to pay off two or three other people that they caught him doing a homo thing with. Couple million dollars, $2, $3, $4, $5 million they paid him off. So this guy's a homo.
The world is in crisis.
Cardinal Theodore McCarrick, tonight suspended from his public priestly duties after an allegation he abused a teenager in New York 47 years ago was found to be credible and substantiated. McCarrick would go on to lead archdiocese in Newark and Washington. New York's Cardinal Timothy Dolan oversaw the investigation. The Newark Archdiocese revealed today there were two settlements of sexual misconduct by McCarrick with adults decades ago. In a statement today, McCarrick, now retired, maintained his innocence, saying he has absolutely no recollection of this reported abuse, but apologized for the pain his accuser has gone through. As Archbishop of Washington, McCarrick counseled presidents and popes and talked about the priest's sex abuse scandal on Meet the Press.
Do you believe there's a special place in hell for men who represent Christ on earth and abuse their flock?
There is certainly a special, terrible judgment on someone who would abuse the trust that a priest must have, that a priest does have.
A judgment now facing this prince of the church. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
He's a homo. That's why they're welcoming homos, because they can have more ammunition, more people to play around with. People, when you go into that church, it's the best way. That's the best place for a homo to be, because they protect you. If you get caught molesting kids, you don't go to jail. Join the nominal Catholic Church, folks. That's why we call that not the true Catholic Church. On that point alone, anybody can know that, because that's not what they're doing. It's not just immorality; it's heresy, because they're acting as homosexuals normal. God created them that way, and they're out there publicly not condemning and denouncing it. So you're guilty of that sin. Then we got another homosexual priest, supporting priest, Father James Martin, to speak on welcoming LGBT Catholics at the World Meeting of Families. That's an oxymoron. As Sister Marie, you'll see later on in this lecture, she rebuked a nominal Catholic. And he says, I'm a gay Catholic. She said, that's an oxymoron. So he's an ox and a moron. Anyway, we'll get into that later. You're going to see this. But here's this guy right here. When anti-Pope Francis visits Dublin later this summer to participate in a world meeting of families, he will touch down in Ireland that used the ballot box to express his dissatisfaction with the Catholic Church's views on sexuality, ushering in same-sex marriages via popular vote in 2015. The decision, along with last month's vote to support of legalizing abortion, highlighted the chasm that has grown between Irish citizens and the church. But in an effort to bridge that gap, organizers of the World Meeting of Families announced on Monday that James Martin, S.J., an editor of America, known in recent years for his ministry to LGBT Catholics, would speak at the August event. The organizer has asked me to speak about how parishes can welcome LGBT Catholics, as well as their parents and families. St. Paul said if your brother fornicates, don't even eat with them. These guys are welcoming them. So I hope to share best practices from parishes that have successfully reached out to LGBT Catholic communities following Total America. Imagine other people that are going there that are straight and they want their kids to be straight and have to sit in a church with these people. They all deserve it if they stay in that church anyway. You're all you deserve. You belong in that church. Now, an interesting thing came out. We said, we don't welcome, we don't honor, and we don't respect homosexuals and transgenders. We abhor them. And we call them to repentance and conversion. We condemn them. Now, when we were marching, one of the bystanders came out and said, what about toleration? And I said, if I didn't tolerate them, they'd be dead already. They'd be dead. So, yes, we do tolerate them. Because we have to. Because I'm not in power. I'm not in authority. So, you know, the most I can do is I'm allowed to protest. I can do that. I do what I can do. All right? But I tell you one thing. So we do tolerate them. We tolerate a lot of things. We're living in, it's just like even the first Christians when they're living in pagan Rome. So we tolerate it. But if I had authority over them in power, I would not tolerate it. No Catholic state can tolerate that. What's the proper way to deal with a public obstinate homosexual? You arrest him. You torture him. While you're torturing him, you pray for his conversion. You give him about a month or two. And if he doesn't repent, you burn him. If he repents within that month, you're going to still kill him. But you just cut his head off quick and you make it quick. Because at least you gave him a chance to save his soul. But they should, that would be fortunate. Because in many cases, like in Sodom and Gomorrah, God doesn't even give you that chance. These people may have sinned against the Holy Spirit. That's why I got to warn. When you start committing sins like they do out in the open in public, you're in that arena of a sin against the Holy Spirit where God may never give you no more grace to repent. But if you were in a Catholic country and under my control, I torture you and I would cut your head off and put it on a pike. And for everybody to see. All right? That's the way you deal with public ops and homosexuals. Even in a Catholic country, if someone's a private homosexual and is ashamed of what he's doing, if you catch him breaking the law, he's in trouble too. You know, maybe if you catch him the first time, you could say, you know, such as I catch you one more time, I'll kill you. I got to throw you in jail for maybe 6 months or something, but I catch you one more time. But for the guy who's ashamed of what he's doing and he knows it's wrong. But these guys, and like I said to the brother, it's like with Son of God doesn't give him a lot of the chance to even repent. But I don't have authority over them. Whereas we may be able to put an animal to death so we can eat a chicken over here. We cannot put humans to death. Not in the United States. They don't even want to believe in the death penalty anymore in this country. So yes, we tolerate them. Now, what we say here too, why is this so important too? The twains will never meet. It is a war between us and them. The extreme lefty liberals and the people that are more on the right side of some of these natural law issues. We're talking about homos and transgenders now. Why can we not coexist in the public square? We can't. It's impossible. If you're a straight person, husband and wife with straight kids, and you want them to grow up the right way and not be homos and transgenders, and you're going to bring your kid into town and he's going to look at them mugging it up, holding hands, kissing one another, putting their art up in pictures. You're looking at it on TV now. All your ads have homos in it and homos being married. It's in your ad. It's all over the public arena.
Last chance to back out. Don't tempt me.
How offensive.
Excuse me?
I won't let you blemish the sanctity of marriage.
No, 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 hang on.
Hey, hang on.
This is enough.
Do you know
this is
what
totally
this
inappropriate.
Is.
You just...
There. Flawless. Carry on, boys.
Why didn't you spot it?
You can't take everything back once you've bought it. But at least with PayPal, if you change your mind, they could refund the cost of your return shipping. Painless brilliance.
Great call on the delish breakfast pit stop. Yeah, I wonder what else we could fit in before work.
Where's Ben and Dave?
Taco Bell, anyone?
Yes.
Pack your morning with Taco Bell Steak and Egg AM Crunch Wrap with a hash brown inside. Get a whole breakfast in one hand.
What about me?
Oh, what about you?
I'm going to give you a little piece of extra ham. I'll tell your brother.
Thanks, Mom.
You're welcome.
See you tonight, love.
Hey, ain't you forgetting something?
Love you. Straight home from work, sweet cheeks. Cooper, I am your father.
No, no, no. I am your father.
That's got to be the worst Vader ever.
Campbell's Star Wars Soups.
How about you be Chewbacca?
Made for real, real.
Everyone works hard for a reason. Working together, we can help you prepare financially for when two becomes three. Wells Fargo, together we'll go far.
For your love, I will go far. I wanna be wherever you are. I know I'm coming back for you. And I'm happy. Nothing's going to stop me. I'm making my way home. I'm making my way.
No matter how things change, what makes us wholesome never will. Honey Made. Everyday wholesome snacks for every wholesome family. This is Wholesome.
They are the ones we trust with our most secret secrets, who are always there when we need them. They are family. And while what it means to be a family hasn't changed, what a family looks like has. This is the new us. Chevrolet Traverse, with the highest possible overall vehicle score for safety, for whatever shape your family takes.
When did you first fight to be considered a family? When you fell in love? When you got married? When you had kids? Family isn't defined by who you love, but how. Tylenol.
Shopping season starting, Kohl's is promoting diversity in their latest commercial ahead of Black Friday.
Everything for entertaining everyone. Kohl's.
Chris and I have a friendly rivalry. Giants,
Cowboys,
you know the deal. But we sure agreed on getting rid of cable and upgrading to DirecTV with NFL Sunday Ticket. It's the only way we can watch our favorite teams every week. Sure, we still argue sometimes.
We're just like any couple, really.
Become the world's most powerful fan. Get NFL Sunday Ticket included at no extra charge. Call 1-800-DIRECTV.
You with your sad eyes. Don't be discouraged, so I realize it's hard to take courage in the world for the people you can decide I meet.
And the darkness there inside you makes you feel so small.
See your true colors shining through. I see your true colors.
That's why I love you, so don't be afraid
to let them show your true colors.
True colors.
it's all over the public arena. I won't even want my kid to go in town to look at them. And guess what, folks? They don't want to look at us. If they know the ones who condemn them, the people on the right of this issue, they don't want to be around us. They want us out. And I want them out. I make no pretenses here. This is a war. And there is no compromise in this war. They're going to win now. They're winning. It's the day of the Antichrist. So goodwill people are losing out on this issue. But not when it comes to my little area here with us brothers on this turf. This few Catholics that we are. You come and mess with us, you're dead. Or I'm going to be dead. But we're not going to both be standing at the end of the day if you try to come into my camp, into my little camp here. Because our God will protect us unless he wants us to be martyred. So it is a war. I'm going to show it to you how it is a war. We had in here this one guy. This is after the whole protest was done. And he filmed this joiner protest.
It was live.
Yeah. This one homosexual filmed this joiner protest. And he's admitting what we're admitting. Like there's no coexistence between us. And that's why he says we're out here to take the public space away from them. Kind, that's what he's saying. Him or her. I got to read the thing here for you. Here's a video clip from a transgender female who looks like a male. Her real name is Viviana Gonzalez, but she goes by her new male name derivative, Viviano Gonzalez. She explains that she's attending the TRC Pride Parade, and it was crashed by some folks that came out to protest on behalf of Jesus and let us know that we are abominations and are not welcome in any of these places. Here's the clip. You'll get the whole thing.
Hi there, folks. We're here at TRC's Pride March. Everyone is marching up the streets and is gathering here. Unfortunately, this Pride celebration was also crashed, if you will, by some very loving folks that are here on behalf of Jesus, apparently. These folks have been marching on the other side of us and have been telling us that we're abominations and that have been letting us know that we're... not welcome in any of these places, right? And so this is why we do the community organization that we do. This is why we do the marches, because they're not just parades, they're protests. They are calls to action for everyone to get on it, to do something, to speak up to these people and recognize that the systems that we have in place uphold these ideas. They uphold the idea that this is okay, that they can tell us that we're abominations, they can cut us off from resources, and they can make it hard for us to have community. This is what we're fighting for, the love, the community, and the survival of our LGBTQ siblings. So please today do something, talk to someone, make some change happen.
So there you go. They're admitting that it is a war, and it is a war. And believe me, folks, if they know you hold the true position against homos and you ever make that public, they'll kick you out of the public square. And we'll kick them out if we could. We're not in power. They're in power now, so that's why they're winning the day. But we do whatever we can do according to the law. And it may be a point like in the Roman Empire when it got so bad that they're going to kill us even from going out and saying anything. Then we got to go into complete hiding, like in the caves. Unless God then tells us to go out by his power and start killing people. That's going to happen here with us. God's going to give us the power to start killing these people. But we'll get into that later. Now, Brother Will is confronting another homo supporter. We called him a homo because he's with the homos. Turns out he said, I'm not a homo, but his girlfriend was a homo, and he was in the homo parade. Now, folks, if you're in a homo parade, whether you're a homo or not, you're a homo, okay? Just these Protestants, too. They don't think they're homos. They're all homos. They're all transgenders. He's even worse because he was in the midst of that parade. But when he came over, and we'll get into that later, Will was arguing with him, and he had to sign love. They always talk about love. We're going to get into how you handle that, too, in a second. But he's got the love sign, and Will was discussing the existence of hell with a bisexual girl who we later learned is called Leisha Chantel McCarthy, and her boyfriend Will said, you deny hell, but it still exists. The fat boyfriend said, I don't deny any of it. I'm planning to stab your effing neck. Stab you in the effing neck.
You know, you hear my point. You hate the true God.
It still exists.
You hate the true God.
Okay,
you
know what?
So he wanted to, and he had a love sign, how you all love one another. He wants to stab, you know what? I want to stab you in the neck too. Actually, I want to do worse than that. I want to torture you and cut your head off and put it on the pike. Hear me, you fat bastard homosexual supporter? You hear me? And I'll tell you something, the day's going to come when God is going to give us that power to kill people like you instantly or maybe within a week. Maybe even now he'd be doing it to you. But I'm going to tell you something, right? That's the fault. It's a war. You see what I'm saying? It's a war. I'm going to get into later on. We didn't come into his face. They came into our face. I'm going to give you our rules of confrontation in a minute. But I just want to show you how these people are. We had another woman who was picking up rocks and was going to throw them at us, but somebody else came along and stopped her. She saw us protesting and picked up some rocks to throw at us. A passerby that seemed to have nothing to do with the parade saw her and told her to put them down. She did, but picked them up again when he left. So she was, she's going to throw rocks at us, of course. It's a war. Now we're going to give to you some of the tactics on when you actually conduct this protest, okay? You got to go out there with signs, not wimpy signs. Jesus is Lord. Yeah, what does that mean, We thought they were going to have a sign like the wages of sin is death. They didn't even have that. They didn't even have that. So you go out there with signs, prayers, condemnations, preaching, you preach to them too, and chanting. You need to do all those things. Now here's a picture of the signs we had. Each one of us had a sign, and here's a picture. I'm going to read them as you go along. One sign said, "The Catholic God mirrors it'll remnant against LGBT. Another sign said, "Remember Sodom and Gomorrah." Another sign said, "They are cursed who decline from God's commandments." That's Psalm 118:21. We had Leviticus 20:13 on another sign. "If anyone lie with a man as with a woman, both that committed an abomination, let them be put to death or blood be upon them." We had another sign, "LGBTQ is an abomination to the Catholic God and against nature." Mr. Protestant, do you agree with that? Do you think these signs, you don't like these signs, do you? What kind of people are they? What are they? Does sin mean? You're right. When you said, well, you again, it will be. They believe as long as you believe in Jesus, you could do all this and still be saved. But they're not even condemning a sinner. It's unbelievable. Now, we had another sign that said, "I shall not lie with man as with a woman because it is an abomination." Leviticus 18:22. We had another sign, "Repent because the kingdom of God is at hand." Matthew 3:2. We had another sign, "God did not create you to be LGBTQ. And our other sign said, "LGBTTQQIAAP equals demonic possession." What does that mean, folks? That's they extended it that far. Priests, they're even saying now, you don't have to be a human being. You could be like an it. This is what these people are teaching, right? It's lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, transsexual, queer, questioning, intersex, asexual, ally, pansexual. That's what that whole thing means. We had another sign, "Unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish." Luke 13:5. Another sign said, "LGBTQ are worthy of death." "LGBTQ supporters are worthy of death." Romans 1:32. Now we give you some hints on preaching to them. So mixed between condemning them and the signs, you preach to them. And the one thing that works very good when they talk about love, "Oh, what about love? What about love?" The first thing you want to say to them is you don't love God. You're supposed to love God above all things before even human beings, but you don't even love God. You hate God. You hate the family. You hate children. And you hate the natural law. You know who you love? Your God, the devil. You love sin. You love perversion. You love rebellion. You love chaos. You love disorder, and you love everlasting death. That's what you love. Your love is nothing more than lust and infatuation. And then you can say, Jesus says in John 14:23-24, "If anyone love me, he will keep my word. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my word." So if you don't keep God's commandments, you don't love him. So you can talk about loving God all you want. You don't love God because you don't keep his commandments. And Jesus said in Matthew 22:37, I think, the first commandment is, "I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no strange gods before me." And the second is like content to say, "Thou shalt not love thy neighbor as thyself." But the first commandment is the most important one above even the second one. And that's the one they're breaking. And because you break that one, God says you can't even really love your fellow human being the right way when you don't love God. So this whole thing when they throw out at love, you want to see, you don't love God. You hate God. You hate the family. You hate children. You hate the natural law. Your God is the devil, and you love the devil. You love sin and perversion and rebellion and chaos and disorder and everlasting death. Now, you also can say to them, this is like preaching and a little at the same time, "Cursed are those who decline from the commandments," Psalm 118:21. Then you say, "St. John says, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin and of the devil." That's John 8:34 and 1 John 3:8. You just say these things. Just preach it to them. Now, I'm going to get to that in a minute. We were yelling across the street, but some of them came across and approached us, so they got in our face. We're going to get to that in a minute. But if they're in your face, then you preach it to them closer. If they're across the street, you yell it out to them. Now, You can say to Isaiah 5:20, what do you call evil good and good evil? Isaiah 5:20. A good quick one I found out was good that you can say. You can say, St. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, homosexuals and all those who support them are worthy of death. That's quick. Just say that. And what we said that to one guy. You would say, St. Paul says in Romans 1, homosexuals and those who support them are worthy of death. And they said, St. Paul's from the Old Testament, isn't he? That's what one person said. No, he's in the New Testament. Romans chapter 1, okay? You could say this one too. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. Big one too, just quick, right to your face. Remember, they hated that one. Remember Sodom and Gomorrah. They hated that one. Just say, just quick.
Psalm 118:25. Cursed are those who decline from my commandment.
Yep.
That's the Holy
God
Bible
didn't
of
make
God.
You this
Don't
way.
You dare.
God didn't make you this way. You chose
God
it.
For your
you
abomination.
Chose it.
Yep.
That's an abomination.
Don't you dare.
You're an abomination.
Such an
you understand
abomination.
Me? Abomination.
Remember Sodom and Gomorrah. Open your eyes. Leviticus 20:13. And see what happens. Romans chapter 1 says,
that's right. That's right.
Homosexuals are worthy of death.
Amen.
And those who consent.
And even if you're not gay, if you support them, you deserve death.
God did not make you
God's
the same God.
He made me this way.
God's the author of evil. God created evil. God
didn't
create evil. God is all good.
Blaspheming. God did not make you that way.
Cursed are those who decline from God's commandments. Cursed are those who decline from God's commandments. I am the Lord thy God. You obey God above all things. You hate God. You hate the true God. You don't love the true God. You love the devil.
Yep.
Your love is hatred. Hatred towards God. Hatred towards the natural law. Hatred towards the family. Hatred towards children. Hatred to your own self.
Yeah,
who are born from parents
where
who
did he come
did not
from?
Commit the homosexual
Where'd he
sin.
Come from? If you're gay, how'd you make him?
You know what we're saying is right.
Romans 1:32.
You become part of it. Who lies with a man as with a woman is an abomination. Let him be put to death, his blood be upon him. St. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, homosexuals are worthy of death. St. Paul says that in Romans chapter 1. The St. Paul you claim to believe in. You don't believe in the true God. You don't believe in the true Jesus. Your God is the devil. Say, well, the prophet Isaiah says in Isaiah 5:20, woe to you who call evil good and good evil and put darkness for light and light for darkness.
Yep.
Solomon says there's a way that seems right to man, the end thereof is death. That's the way you're on. That's the road you're on. I'd rather have you invoke Satan as your God, because then you at least be honest.
You don't believe
do
in
not
Jesus.
Profess to believe in the Bible.
Now, the other thing that's very effective, because they get loud, and they get loud and all that, but really disturbing is chants. And the brothers came together with some really good chants. And so now you mix it into a chanting at them. And here's the chants that we chanted. One of them was, 1, 2, 3, 4, don't be a faggot anymore. 1, 2, 3, 4, don't be a faggot anymore. And they came up with some new ones, the brothers. We didn't have these ones, but these are new ones. 5, 6, 7, 8, pray to God to make you straight. 8, 9, 10, 11, faggots never get to heaven. I like that. Though this is really got them going, all right? Because you're across the street, so you want to yell out at them. Here's the other one. Ho, ho, hey, hey, God didn't make you to be this way. Ho, ho, hey, hey, God didn't make you to be this way. And the other one is, hey, hey, ho, ho, LGBT has got to go.
Hey, hey, ho, ho, LGBT has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho, LGBT has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho, LGBT has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho. LGBT has got to go. 1, 2, 3, 4. Won't be a faggot anymore. 1, 2, 3, 4. Don't be a faggot anymore. 1, 2, 3, 4. Don't be a faggot anymore.
Ho ho, hey hey. God didn't make you to be this way. Ho ho, hey hey. God didn't make you to be this way. Ho ho, hey hey. God didn't make you to be this way.
And then you chant that. Now you mix that in. So you chant, then you pray. Now we mix it in with all Our Father, Hail Mary, St. Michael prayer, and the St. Benedict prayer in Latin. You can do it in English if you want. We do it in Latin. The Crux Sancti Patri Benedicti prayer, and we do the St. Michael prayer, which is our big one, and Our Fathers and Hail Marys.
You don't know what love is. Be our protection against wickedness and the snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God. cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking to ruin his souls. Amen.
Benedicti,
Hruk Sakra Sit Mihi Lux, Non Draco Sit Mihi Dux, Vare Retro Satana, Num Quam Suare Mihi Vana, Sunt Malaqueli Boss, Ipse Vene Nabi Boss, Amen.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And let us not fall into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death.
Now, the rules for confrontation from our perspective is when we went into this thing is we are not going to get in their face. We are not going to physically confront them. We're going to stay across the street at a distance, and we're going to do our chants and our preaching at a distance. We're not going to get up there and start any type of physical violence, or we're not even going to get into their face. We're just going to stand across the street, and we're going to chant and preach to them from across the street. And that's the rule you have to have. Because if we got there and started anything, we'd be in jail for starting a conflict or whatever. It's not a Catholic country, folks. If it was a Catholic country, you wouldn't have to worry about that. They wouldn't be doing that. The baseball bats come out and the heads are busted. But you don't go to jail for something like that. God uses for other purposes, right? So rules for confrontation, because it's against their law, we stayed across the street and we don't confront them. But we will not initiate any violence, even if they get up in our face, unless they hit us first. So if they initiate violence against us, we're going to defend ourselves. We're going to fight back. If they strike us, or if they throw something at us and hit us with it, then we're going to fight back. Okay? But those are rules of confrontation. They call that the rules of engagement in the military. What are the rules of engagement, Star Sergeant? You know? If it's open arms, that means you can shoot anybody. If it's shoot at any time, or if it's shoot, don't shoot until you're shot at, you know? So that's our rules of engagement. And be prepared for filthy language and filthy acts. They got a bad mouth, filthy sexual stuff. They did. You'll see it in here. We cut out the filthy stuff, the real filthy stuff. So you can't hear it. But if you go there, be ready for it. You're going to hear the filthy words. And sometimes they even do filthy things in these parades, like in New York. They do homo sins while they're going down there. They're committing the homo thing. So be prepared for that. You're going to see filthy words and acts. The same thing like when the missionaries had to go into Africa and convert the naked savages. There's certain things you got to put up with when you're trying to convert them. God will give you the grace to withstand it, but be prepared for that. Now, in the beginning of this whole thing, they were setting up at that triangle, and we knew when they were going to set up, and we got there like, they were supposed to be there at 9 and start making their signs, and the parade was supposed to leave at 10. We got there about 20 to 10 or something like that. We wanted to get there a little bit earlier while they were preparing their signs and stand across the street from them while they were preparing their signs and protest against them. So that's what we did. Now you're looking at a picture of us here on one side of the street, right here, as you can see it. This picture was taken by one of the homos that we got from the internet later on, because they were taking pictures too of us. We were taking pictures of them. Now you can see here they are on the other side of the street in the triangle. And here they are, the freaks. Now, when we started protesting, they crossed the street and came to us. We didn't go over to them. They got in our face, a couple of them. They came across the street, you know. And when they came across the street, I said to this that one fat homo, the homo supporter, the one fat guy that said he's going to stab Will in the neck, I said, you came across the street and confronted us. Your blood be upon you. And he sort of got a little nervous, you know. But they came across, and a lesbian, and they confronted us, and they're yelling in our face, and they're screaming, and we're yelling back. And as they're yelling, we're yelling, and they're getting real close to your face. And you can see they're trying to provoke you. Even one said, go ahead and hit me. I said, no, they want you to hit them. Because if we hit first, then we go to jail on assault charges. So that's what I said to that fat homo. I said, you crossed the supporter. I said, you came and you confronted us, so your blood be upon you. If anything happens here, you're starting this thing. Now, there's this one big Buffalo Bull Dyke lesbian girl. Oh, she was filthy. Got in my face and started using all kinds of filthy language, sticking her tongue out. We had to cut out a lot of stuff, but I'm going at it with her back and forth, you know? And you're going to see the clip in a second. You'll see the confrontation, but we were going at it for quite a while. And she was, so what happened was, she was saying a lot of nasty stuff, you know, about her private parts and all that. And so I told her, you know, I said, I'm going to cut your private. I said, if I had power over you, I'd cut your private part out, and I will cut your head off, and I will put it on a pike.
What are you? What are you?
You're the one who killed
him. That's not love. That's hatred towards God. That's hatred towards the family. That's hatred towards children. I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt love me first above all things, and then love your neighbor as myself. Hate sin and love God. Hate sin and love good. God hates sin, and he abominates it. Sinner.
Not only do you hate God, you hate yourself.
Your God is a faggot little teddy bear, full of sexual, false God, he's a devil.
That isn't love.
That is not love, that's hatred. Oh God. Go with your go with your procession, you piece of shit.
Yeah, you don't want to miss the parade.
You're cursed.
One true God.
Okay, good. Hey, good for you.
One last person in your parade.
Yeah.
And your silly parade. One last person.
Yeah, you're gonna have to pray for it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yup, it
That's
is.
Right. And maybe tonight God will put a disease down.
We don't have to do something. God will. Maybe he will.
You are cursed. Psalm 118:25. Cursed are those who decline from my commandments.
Yup.
That's
no
right.
More.
Yup.
Take the picture.
No more gay pride.
Yeah.
Make sure you get.
No, look, don't pride.
Get out of here, you big buffalo piece of shit.
Yeah.
Straight
pride.
Look
for
all. Straight pride.
Look for
all. Pride.
Yeah.
Abomination. Abomination. Right here, Leviticus
20:13. That ain't love. That's not love.
All right, that's right, folks. I can see some of these nominal Catholics and wimpies out there saying Richard Colbert a piece of shit or buffalo shit. And not wrong with the word shit, okay, when it's appropriate. You don't have to overuse it to be obsessed with shit, but it's a proper word when used the right way. In the Old Testament, what did they call shit? Dung. Germans call it scheißen. And that was in the Old Testament, they call it dung. In our English translation, I don't know what the Hebrew word is for shit, but shit is shit. And she is a piece of shit. I even said she's even really worse than a piece of shit, because shit could be used to fertilize things. She's got no purpose the way she is there with her homosexual lifestyle. So I call her a piece of shit, and you go, oh, well, let me tell you something. The prophet Elias, the holy prophet Elias, calls Jezebel a piece of shit in so many words. I'm going to read from 4 Kings 9:37. The flesh of Jezebel shall be as dung shit upon the face of the earth in the field of Jezreel. And when we read from Jesus, son of Sirach, in the book of Ecclesiasticus 9:10, every woman that is a harlot shall be trodden upon as dung, as shit in the way. You don't like, I'm too hard, too bad, I don't want you around here. The people who are of goodwill and the natural law, because I'm not politically correct, like, love what I'm saying. This weeds out the wimpy, effeminate people the way I speak. It's the way normal people used to speak when we grew up. This has gotten so bad with political correctness, people are afraid to say anything. And she's worse than a piece of shit anyway, really. Now, okay, we also had Geronimo show up. Geronimo showed up, a pagan heathen Indian. Yes, folks, they're still alive and well in New Mexico, these bastards. They are some of the worst pagan heathens, these pagan Indians with the war paint and everything. They're the same. They're just waiting to break loose. Anyway, we had one show up here, and he came across the street. Only he stayed a little bit aside from us, and he's chanting to his big Indian chief god, his what do you call it, the big feather in the sky. I don't know what they call their Indian chief, their false god. So he's praying to his false god, right? I guess he's trying to get a curse on us. He's going, so Geronimo, he's trying to do this. Now, I'm going to show you the clip in a couple seconds. But I want to tell you, when he's doing that, we're praying to St. Michael for St. Michael's prayer. And I said, oh, here comes Geronimo now. You'll see that in the clip and all that. He's going to, pagan Indian they got, right? So he's doing his thing. We're praying to St. Michael prayer. And eventually, he was there for a while, though. Eventually, he then left and went back across the street. But here's the clip.
Do some homework. Open up the Bible tonight, people. Do some homework, huh? Yeah, that's right. You know how to read. Yeah,
did you? The Bible, that's the word of God.
You
don't know what love is. Be our protection against wickedness and the snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen.
Here we right here, this is your salvation. Confess. Repent.
And all you people that love these abominable superheroes, you know, that's another heresy today. They're like mythological creatures, superheroes. We had a superhero show up. Two of them. Super Fag! Super Fag. One of the fags had a cape on and he's going like this in the street. And I said, here we have a Superman, Super Fag. And then we also had a woman, she put the cape on. I said, here's Wonder Woman with her fag. Wonder Fag Woman. Here's the clip, you're going to see it.
Solomon says there's a way that seems right to man, the end thereof is death. That's the way you're on. That's the road you're on. I'd rather have you invoke Satan as your God, because then you at least be honest.
You don't believe in
Jesus.
You
do not profess to believe in the Bible. Do not profess to believe.
What are you, anyway?
Here comes Superman. Look at him.
Super Superwoman.
Here comes Super Faggot.
You're an embarrassment to women.
Look at the blubber puss Super Faggot that he is. Super Fag. We're going to have a new TV show called Super Fag.
Yeah. Hey. Why didn't you stay a woman? Why didn't you stay a woman? He's a trans. You know that. Yeah. That's what the lines are all about.
We don't have the Wonder Woman clip, but there was another woman that she had the thing on, you know, and she's standing up like, you know, Wonder Fag Woman. Now, one thing, this is still at the beginning. The parade hasn't started yet, and they're coming over to our side, and they're getting up in our face. That's when the guy told Will he's going to stab him in the neck. And we saw a cop like a block away just watching the whole thing. Now, I want to make a comment here about the cops. But this is really not correct. If this was a little worse, it can get out of hand. The cops... It's their duty to keep the people separate. The cops should get out of the car and said, you homos get on your side of the street and don't get in their face, because that's how violence starts. But those cops were waiting for something to happen. Next year, it's going to be worse, because there's still probably going to only be about 12 of us, and there'll probably be 800. They said we're going to have 800 or 1,000 next year. So it's going to grow, but we're still going to go out there. But my point is, where's the cop in all of this? He's watching them. They came over. They got in our face. He never got out of the car to separate them. So if anything happened, I have a right to sue the cops even for not protecting us. There's a little cowardice going on with the cops because they're afraid they're going to get in trouble or whatever. They do this in a lot of protests when it comes to the righties. They don't protect the righties from the Antifa violent groups. So we would have had to defend ourselves if violence started. And guess what? We probably would have went to jail. I don't know what the whole cop's motive was. I'm just, let's be warning to your policeman how you should handle these things. Next year, before this, I am going to go to the cops ahead of time and speak to them before it happens. And I'm going to tell them, you know, we're not going to cross the street. We're not going to get in their face. We're going to stay at a distance. We don't initiate violence. I'm letting you know that. But if they come over to us and you don't separate them and they hit us, we're going to fight. And I'm going to sue you because you didn't defend, protect us. That's what I'm going to do next year, because they're playing for, you watch next year, they're calling, George Soros is going to get his army together. I guarantee you, and bring some Antifa people down. And we're going to really have a go at it. That's where we're going to need some of those Moses-like miracles when God opens up the earth and sends a couple of them down in hell or hits them with lightning. Yeah. Or if God sees fit that we should get a beating, then we get a beating. Like St. Paul got a lot of beatings. We're still going to be there. Now, while we're there, here comes the infamous Protestant parade. And it was they were on the other side, across the street from them, on the other side of the triangle. And they're coming there and they line up. There's, you don't hear no noise. They're not saying anything. They're not talking. And they had a bullhorn. I don't know why they had the bullhorn, because they didn't use it. And we said, what are they doing over there? Nothing. They didn't have any offensive such as Jesus is Lord, maybe. That's about it. And as they said, we are not protesting them. We're having our own separate parade that just happened to fall on the same day. But some of the prots were waving over to us, a few, two or three of them, you know. They were like, hey, I'm glad you guys are doing that. I'm going to tell you something, you prots. I blame the Protestant leaders more than even the people in the pews, because they're following you. I guarantee you, there's some people in your church who wanted to do what we did and you didn't let them do it. And that may be good for us, because that can help us to convert them into our true church, the Catholic Church. Because true Catholics don't behave like wimps. They're not politically correct. They're not cowards. They're not non-judgmental. You guys are a bunch of wimps. And I guarantee there's a lot of kids that are waiting for stuff like this to happen because they're sick and tired. Not all kids, but a lot of them, I bet you, on the natural law, are sick and tired of having this agenda shoved down their throat in school and wherever they are. And they see people like us, they'll be attracted to us. Manly people. Yes, men and women are to be manly. These guys weren't manly, they were effeminate, these prots. And so there they are lined up, and they just do their march ahead of time. What our plan was, that when they start parading, because they weren't allowed, they didn't get an official permit, so they had to parade on the sidewalk. So when they were going down one side of the sidewalk, we were on the other side of the sidewalk with our signs, chanting, preaching, praying, and we're going right along with them. Right along with them. Because they let the people know in town, too, this opposition, right? Now, you're going to see some of the stuff as we're walking side by side in town with them. We're going to go to several clips on that. And we're going to show you some clips on that.
Ho, ho, hey, hey, God didn't make it to be this way. Ho, ho, hey, hey, God didn't make it to be this way. Ho, ho, hey, hey, God didn't make it to be this way. Ho, ho, hey, hey.
Now, when we got to the end of the parade, which is in that Healing Water Plaza, the Prots already had like a rock music set up. And I'm not against rock music if it's good. So it's not, I'm not complaining about the music. But they had this music thing and they had this food and everything ready to take care of these homos and welcome them in, have meals with them. St. Paul says you don't even eat with the fornicator, let alone having meals and playing music and dancing with them, you know. So anyway, they were on the Healing Plaza set up with their music and food and everything. We were on the other side of the street from the homos. The homos were in front of the Healing Plaza this way, and the homos kind of were trying. They don't want to go to the Prots neither. They even looked at their Prots as more hypocritical in a sense. If you, from the homos' perspective, they should respect us more than even them because they're hypocrites. At least we're telling the homo the truth. And what we're telling that homo, believe me, folks, by the way, when we're preaching to them, it was sinking into them. It was. They were afraid. I seen it. When we laid the word of God down on them, they were afraid. I seen it. You know? But. And that's the hope maybe for them to convert, you know. But the Prots, man, they loved the Prots. They just thought the Prots were hypocrites. So most of them didn't go there neither. So they were kind of trapped. But when we came to that end of the thing, we were still chanting at them. And this one nominal Catholic homo comes up with this sign. And Sister Marie confronted him. We have it on there. Here's a picture of this nominal Catholic. His thing says, "Aardvarks, platypuses, and the rest of us queers are not God's mistakes. Just because you don't understand." So now he's saying God created homos. He's a nominal Catholic. And Sister Marie confronted him, and here's what she said.
Yeah, you faggot.
Just say no.
God knows you.
No. 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 No.
No. No. Yeah, we are Catholic. We're not with the church in Rome. The church in Rome is not Catholic. We're not with them. But we are Catholic.
I was a Catholic.
Yeah.
I was one.
Yeah.
They aren't Catholic. There's been no Pope since 1130. If you were a Catholic, you wouldn't be standing here advertising for these guys.
A gay Catholic.
You are not a gay Catholic. That's an oxymoron. That's like saying you're a... No.
But now...
We do know.
Yes. We know everything.
Yeah, no. Romans 1:32.
That's the Old Testament.
No, it's the New Testament. Shows how much you know. That's St. Paul.
Yeah,
that's St. Paul.
You guys are so...
He's not a misogynist. He's a Catholic. No, you are. Talk about losers. Losers. You can't even have babies by yourself.
God's not going to go away.
Hey, hey, ho, ho, LGBT has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho, LGBT has got to go. Hey, hey, ho, ho, LGBT has got to go.
That's right, it's an oxymoron. I'm a Catholic and I'm a homosexual. That's like saying I'm a Muslim and I'm a Catholic. I'm a Hindu and I'm a Catholic, which people are doing today anyway. It is an oxymoron. Like I said before, he's an oxymoron. Not even an oxymoron. But here's this guy, he's a nominal Catholic. And the guy, when we were there, came in, that homosexual artist that was blaspheming stationed across, he was in a Catholic driving right in front of this guy, and he's marching with them. He's marching with them, this guy. I'm a nominal Catholic. I'm sure the faggot priest gives him communion every Lord's Day up there in the church. Our Lady Perpetual Help, that little fag, but you've got to see this priest. He's so embarrassing. The last time when I saw, even when he comes around, people look at him, they laugh at him. He looks like a clown. Now, this guy's name was Dennis Duman, and he told Sister Marie he was surprised that we're Catholics and told her that he went to the Newman Center and is a gay Catholic. And that's when you heard Sister Marie rebuke him. Now, this reminds you of Lamentations 4:6. He says, "And the daughter and the iniquity of the daughter of my people, nominal Catholics, is made greater than the sin of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment. Lamentations 4:6. He calls himself a Catholic, and it's even greater than Sodom, because in Sodom, I'm sure they did not try to get married and have families like you see today, or they didn't have as many transgenders as you today, and it was bad enough back then, but it's even worse today. And he's saying that God, when God's chosen people go about, a lot of them do become homos. But what's worse about this guy is he's saying God created him that way. And God created everything perfect. Sin comes from the abuse of your free will. If you don't cooperate with God's grace and you choose evil, that's where sin comes from, not from God. God did not create men to be homos. God did not create men to be murderers. God did not create men to be adulterers. God did not create men to be thieves. You become that by your own free will choice. Everybody who's listening to me right now is a homo or a transgender. No, you can say to God, or even if you don't say to yourself, I don't want to be a homo no more. You can use your free will to reject that lifestyle. You love it, you incorporate it, and you say God made you that way as an excuse for you not to convert and repent. So they're sewing cushions under your elbows and letting you rest comfortably in your sins. Ezekiel says that in one of the verses. Let me just show you how God made things, all right? Originally, a few verses I'm going to throw it out here. This is God speaking about Satan. Thou was perfect in thy ways from the day of thy creation until iniquity was found in thee. In him and from him, not from God. Another verse, God had made nothing defective. Ecclesiasticus 42:25. Another one, God made man right. He hath entangled himself in sin. Ecclesiasticus 7:30. Ecclesiastes 7:30. What is more wicked than that which flesh and blood hath invented? Ecclesiasticus 17:30. Error and darkness are created with sinners. Ecclesiasticus 11:16. And he and God hath commanded no man to do wickedly, and he hath given no man a license to sin. Ecclesiastes 15:21. If God created you to be a homo, then it's God's fault and it's no sin. That's the whole hypocrisy of the nominal Catholic Church out there. They're saying if I was created that way, then where's the sin in it? Then God's the author of sin. Then why can't I commit the act if God made me to be this way? You see the connection, you see how hypocritical they are? Now, you want to read more about that topic, read my book, God Did Not Create Men to Be Homosexuals. Now, as we say, at the end of the parade, also, the prophets were over there with their music and everything. They were committing sins of association now. They're welcoming, respecting, and honoring them instead of condemning them. So now, in the beginning, they were committing sins of omission, now of association. You see that path? Now they're together, dancing together, feeding them. When Jesus ate with sinners, and I said that before, they were not committing their sins in his presence. He was trying to convert them. If they were committing acts of prostitution there, Jesus would have never went in there. What this thing was is a public act of fornication to the highest degree of debauchery. These prots, you see how it happens? And they do their palsy-wowsy. We heard other things about them. They get together. We got a lot of these art people. When the modern art people start coming in town, these artsy-fartsy people, when they start coming into town, that's when everything started to go downhill. We got a liberal guy to come in here, a Democrat guy. What's his name? Sid Bryant. He brought all the stuff in with them. They try to liberalize the town. They bring money into it, and they start buying out things, and they try to take the town over. When we first came here, it was more conservative than it is now. So there's a battle for tier C is what I'm getting at. And in the end, believe me, folks, so I'm going to win. We're going to win this battle in the end. It may take a couple years to clean them all out, but God's going to clean them out because we are going to have one area where we can have a Catholic camp to save our souls and help to save the souls of others and bring people into our camp. And that's going to be why we're here, TRC, Williamsburg, and maybe all of New Mexico even. Right now, if I just had one town that was Catholic in the whole world, I would be happier than anything. It'll eventually happen. Maybe not now, but with our struggles and prayers and everything, it will happen. And getting to that point, when this thing was all over, I put a specific curse down on them. They already cursed anyway. I don't need to put a curse on them. They're cursed. And if you disobey God's commandments, you're cursed. Let alone the way they're doing, they're like cursed to the highest degree. But I put a specific curse down upon them. And the curse was, God, if it be according to your will, I would like these people to be tortured and killed. And to let them know why they're being tortured and killed, if it be according to your will. Now, it may not be time for that yet. I don't know, but I know there will be a time for that. Because if God maybe does all that right now, too much attention will be drawn to us. And I have a lot more work I need to do before anything happens. There's a lot of few books I need to do that are really big books that need to be done. If I started being distracted by too much of this stuff, it won't get done. But maybe God, I said, so, my prayer was, well, you don't kill them all. Maybe just kill a few of them or torture. Leave it up to God if God wills it. God's pleased with that, folks. Yes, he is. He is. Because the stuff they did is worthy of death. I'll give you an example. If I said, God, kill all the homos in the world and don't let the Antichrist come to power, he's not going to listen to me. Because the Antichrist got to come to power. My prayer is at least in TRC, at least in our own little neighborhoods. So let these people know, woe to you who oppose us. I guarantee you one thing. Whoever opposes us is going to be punished to the degree of their opposition. So the more you oppose us, the more you're punished by God. Believe me, folks, you want to put a curse on us? We had a woman in the crowd put a curse on Sister Lauren. She said, in 2 days, something's going to happen to you. She's still here. That doesn't bother us. But they're putting curses on us. We got a lot of witches and warlocks in town. A lot, they're all over, not just this town. Believe me, I've been attacked by witches, warlocks, and devils now going on since going back to when I started to convert when I was 40 years old. I'm now 62. It's going on for 22 years. I know what goes on. Okay, so then this is what we did when I put the curse down on him. We'll see if God honors. He may not honor it this time. Now, when the homos just, they didn't even go to have the Protestants food. They just went back to the triangle. They didn't even stay in the Hillwood's Plaza. We were walking alongside and heading back to the house. And then we saw two cop cars. And one cop waved to us. Another cop rolled up his window and he wanted to wave to us. So it goes to show you, and police forces even, you got this split. You got some really lefty liberal policemen and you got some guys who are more on the right of the issue. Now we're going to give you some of the blowback after this parade was done from these homos and what they had to say about us from their Facebook pages and all that. This is uploaded from the Truth or Consequences Pride Facebook group page. I'm just going to quote some of these. One lady, Sue Sorensen said, so sad that these people are dour, colorless, and angry. Next year, let's make them breakfast burritos with a cherry on top. Do me a favor. Next year, I'm going to make you a nice sword, nice and sharp, so your head comes off quick, all right? That's what I'm going to give you. The cherry on the top of my dessert is your head off on a pike, all right? We don't play games. When things are bad, you get angry. If you don't get righteously angry when somebody's sinning and doing something wrong, then you don't even have the natural law. You're a wimp. That's why you people deserve to be raped in front of your own family. So they sit back and go, oh, lovey, don't get angry. Bunch of wimps. Here they go. Here, look, they go. What do you expect them to be? That's when you get that smiley face, that demonic smiley face. Everybody wants to smile. Even my apostate father, who's dead and in hell right now, he sent me a little smiley face. He says, Rich, smile. He says, smile. I says, get rid of these smiley faces, all right? I ain't got nothing to smile about. I smile when I have to. We smile here, we tell jokes, we have humor, we have fun. When it's appropriate. When it's not appropriate, I don't smile. But I will smile when God kills you and sends you to hell. Once you're in hell, I'm going to dance on the roof when he kills some of you ops and homosexuals. And I will smile. And you'll even maybe see me dancing on the roof and smiling. All right? Then that's not the way you wanted me to smile, though, right? Now, this other one, Barbara Bennett, said, nope, they won't accept fruit from us. Correctamundo. They are a very small sect. Exercising their First Amendment rights. Well, at least that was good, yeah. No problem. Our march was lovely. Sue Sorensen, so aerosol cheese for them, huh? Okay. I don't know what that means, aerosol cheese.
Poison.
A poison or something. Yeah. Then this Barbara Bennett says, that might work. The march was amazing. Your daughter rocks. Chantel Alina said, sad to see a familiar face among the two among the crowd. Because some of us are, we intermingle with them in town. When we have to sell things or at farmer markets and all that kind of stuff. And selling eggs and products. When you go to the store and all that. Anyway, Rose Walner, it was sad to see them so angry. And to hear them shout out such hurtful things. But hopefully one day they will see the error of their ways. We're going to see the error of our ways. And actually learn to love other people for who they are. Love other people. Love homosexuals as homos. To love sin. To love the devil. They want us to love the devil. These people don't love God at all. This is their whole, how they try to push you into their, it's a false love, phony baloney. Look at this part Barbara Bennett said. They also believe the Pope is Satan, although they are an offshoot of the Roman Catholic Church. Well, you got one thing wrong and you got one thing right. He's not the Pope, he's an anti-Pope, apostate anti-Pope, but he is of Satan. That one you got right. Read my book, Non-Catholics Cannot Hold Offices in the Catholic Church. It might be too deep or cerebral for you, maybe not, but that's our teaching. A pope, a cardinal, anybody in the Catholic Church, when he becomes a formal heretic or a formal idolater, automatically loses his office if he has it. If he gets elected to an office as a formal heretic or formal idolater, he doesn't get the office. We have this guy is an apostate anti-pope in Rome. Just look at some of the sins he's committed against the natural law, and anybody can know that, and how they're allowing the pedophilia. You got to look at my go to my website on the Great Apostasy to understand that. Now, another one, Diana D. May said, they have no right to judge. They are not true Christians. Jesus said in John 7:24, judge just judgments. Jesus said in John 12:57, why even among yourselves do you not judge that which is just? So, see that? That's how watered down the Christianity. That's why these prots get these prots are worse than the homos. I think they really are in their hypocrisy. They really are. You're the ones who are supposed to say you believe in the Bible. They said he believed in the Bible too, and they're really, but you guys are no cup of tea. True Christians love, not hate. Prophet Amos says, hate evil, love good. Amos 5:15. Hate evil, love good. God, Zechariah said, God says, turn to me and I will turn to you. Turn away from evil and I will turn to you. Hate evil and love good. That's, you know what? I mean, it's amazing. You know, Satan, that's what they love, Satan, right? What do they do? That's their true, where God's coming. Then this guy, James D'Alfonsi Sims, said, I could probably name three of those people. I can't see the faces, but they have to be cave people. Citizens against virtually everything. About virtually everything you believe in, but not virtually everything. We believe in all the good things. You believe in all the evil things. That's the difference. That shows you he doesn't even know what good is. He didn't even say we believed in one good. He says we're going to, because we go, that shows how evil he is. Right? Right? We're the purveyors of all good things. You're the purveyor of all evil things. Look, even an evil person has some good things about them that they have. But some are worse than others. Look what you read here. This is Renee Sosana Olson. Shame we can't identify who they are. If they have businesses in Tier C, they don't need my money. Boycott! Girl cot! Homo cot! Transgender cot. Sorry, I said boy. I don't know. Maybe you want to be a girl. I don't know. So they want to boycott us now, you see. I want to boycott them too if I have to. The real bad ones? Anyway, that's. Then we have a comment of somebody who knew a couple of us in the crowd. And it's Julie R. Brightrock. Well, that don't sound like a real name to me. Or she's an Indian, maybe. She's Brightrock?
In real life, she's actually Polish. Her name's Krakow. Julie Krakow.
Now she knows Brightrock. She's a pagan Indian, though. American Indians. Bright Rock. Anyway, she took up her, she's ashamed of her Polish heritage. Maybe it's better she did change her name. She's the lesbian transgender that she is. Anyway, she says they do. One of the young girls, Marie, I have brought eggs and rabbit meat from her. She is very sweet. She's a very sweet kid who has a good heart, who no longer get my business. And one of the young men, that's Ryan, got, sells at the farmer's market in the fall. I got some video footage of them, and the dark energy coming from them physically pushed me back. It was very dark, heavy, and felt gross. I smudged myself later. Now listen to this. It was back to, see, oil and vinegar. See, God's power pushing. She's the one who's evil. We're the one who's good. She's got the devil on our side. God's on our side. And when she said, I smudged myself later, that's a witchcraft term for purifying yourself. When they have to go and get cleanse themselves, that's the witchcraft term. I smudged myself. That's a ceremonial cleansing, which witches do. And she says, she's not going to get my business anymore. I don't want your business. We don't need your business. All right? If I had my say, I wouldn't take none of your business if I didn't. You know, I wouldn't. And look, I'm not, and I won't give anybody business who supports them if I didn't have to. Sometimes you have to. You can't help it. Then Renee Salsa Olsen said, that's the best way. Make their bigotry hurt them in the pocketbook. I try only to frequent those places that are inclusive. You're not going to hurt our pocketbook. We don't need your money. We don't even need the money we're getting for our ranch products. So we do still work for a living, and we do how we can make money. But worst comes to worst, God can turn a rock into a piece of bread. He could make us find gold on our property. God's going to take care of us. We don't need your money. This is all part of the Antichrist. It says in a final day, no one could buy or sell unless you have the mark of the beast. That's the beast speaking right here. They don't want to buy stuff from us, and they don't want to give us anything. But we don't need your stuff. Kelly Gray says, so very dark. What did the prophet Isaiah say? He says, what do you call evil good and good evil? Put darkness for light, night for dark. They're calling us dark. Take a look at these people again, folks, and they're supposed to be the light. I'm going to tell you something. Attila Hun would look at them and have their heads in 2 seconds, and he would know they're even dark. You don't got to be a Catholic to know that. Susan Curry, I had a pleasant time except for those people shouting bad things. Barbara Bennett, I ignored them. They were not close enough to bother me. Just a weird little sect. A little sect, yes. Weird, no. They're called, that's like the pocket. They're us weird. They're not. I even told him one time, I said, you know, you wouldn't even be alive if your parents didn't have relations. You know, I mean, if we went along with this homo thing, you know, you wouldn't even have human beings. This one said, Sue Whiteside said, me too, Barbara, sounded like high school cheerleader yells. Barbara Bennett said, yep, the words luckily were mostly unclear. I heard Sodom and Gomorrah a few times. Susan Curry said, this town is incredible, whatever that means. Roxanne Ellis Van Warmer said, Sodom, whose sin was inhospitality, ironic. Huh. And then Barbara Bennett says, they probably don't even know that. And then Sue Whitehead says, that is correct, Roxanne, until somebody came along and changed the meaning of the Aramaic word for inhospitality to homosexuality. There's their big lie. We're trying to tell you that the main sin of Sodom was inhospitality. And that was one of their sins, because they wouldn't let the angels, who appeared to be men, to go in their house. So they were inhospitable. That's in there. But they were also homos. And that's the main reason God killed them, is because they're homos. I'm going to read the Bible to you jerks. Open up the Bible and clean out the wax, or should I say the cement, from your ears. You want me to help you clean out the cement? I'll bring a drill over there. Maybe I go too far and you die. I pierce your brain. I'll do that if you don't listen to what I'm telling you here. And let me read to you that. Look, let me read it right here. It's from the story of Genesis 19, 4 to 7. Before Lot and his family went to bed with the two angels who appeared to be men, the men of the city beset the house, both young and old, all the people together, and they called Lot and said to him, where are the men that came in to thee at night? Bring them out hither that we may know them. Lot went out to them and shut the door and after him and said, do not so, I beseech you, my brethren, do not commit this evil thing. Now, we read St. Jude teaches in Jude 1:7, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighboring cities in like manner having given themselves to fornication, not in hospitality, although they were in hospital too, and going after other flesh, homos, faggots, queers, were made an example, suffering the punishment of everlasting fire. So don't you be quoting old Bible verses at me. That's like Obama coming out and saying he's a Christian, he supports homo marriages. You got to be out of your mind, the world we're living in today. Out of your mind to listen to these people and put up with this. What do we have here now? Well, we got them listening anyway. That's how you convert people, by preaching to them. And telling them what they're doing is wrong and showing them the truth. We got some of them to go to the Bible. This Roxanne Ellis Van Wormer says, the Bible contains 6 admonitions to homosexuals and 360 admonitions to heterosexuals. That doesn't mean that God doesn't love heterosexuals. It's just that they need more supervision. Lynn Lavner, supervision. One mortal sin will send you to hell. The reason he talks most about heterosexuals is because they're mostly heterosexuals, not homos. Most of the people were committing heterosexual sins of fornication or adultery. That's why that's mentioned. Homos weren't as much. That's how perverse homosexuality was. And she says, admonitions, condemnations of homosexuals. Not just admonitions, condemnations. And also, yes, adultery's bad too, and so is fornication. They're all mortal sins. It only takes one mortal sin to send you to hell. As St. James says in James 2:10, he who keeps all the commandments but then breaks one, it's as if he broke them all, is going to hell. But at least, okay, so you do agree that the Bible condemns homos and transgenders, all right? So wise up. How could you say that and then continue to do what you're doing? That's a sign of no repentance and no remorse, unless you don't believe in the Bible. Maybe you're just like a secular person that's quoting the Bible, but you don't believe it. You don't really believe in it anyway, or you would repent. Now, this is from a lesbian. Jessie Danielle Warney posted this, Warren. But she was obviously confused because she had heard about the March for Jesus and thought our protest was a contradiction. She heard about how the prots were going to go peaceably. It's not a protest. It's just a march. We're not going to condemn you. And she thought that we were part of them. So she's saying they were hypocrites. They said they weren't going to do this. So they sort of mixed us in with them. She said, it is absolutely repulsive the way that the church has protested pride, disgusting, some people of God. And she uses a small g on that. So they thought we were associated with these prods. Jesse Daniel Warren said, these videos of them yelling something that sounds like 1, 2, 3, 4, don't be a fag anymore. Good. You understand English. Sprechen Sie Deutsch? You understand English, German? Do you understand what I just read about Sodom? Do you understand some of these Bible quotes? Oh, you understand. You can hear. Remember our Lord says they have ears, but they do not want to hear. When they want to hear something, they can hear it. Again, she goes, it's disgusting after insisting that they weren't doing their shit for that and that it was just to spread Jesus' name bullshit. She thought we were part of them. They weren't. It was us who were doing that on the other side. They got dragged into it. They probably can't stand us now. They're going to say, you ruined it for us. We can't be friendly with them no more. They're going to attack us. They're going to take away my home. They're going to take away my life, my kids, my little doggy, my cats. They're going to kill me. They're going to hate me. Bunch of faggot people. This whole world's full of fags. Not the whole world. You got some people like maybe zealous Muslims and maybe some Orthodox Jews and maybe some African nations, people in Uganda, they attack the homos. Well, we have one guy that knew that there were two different groups out there, you know, that we weren't with that Protestant group. This guy, Eli Whitney, says, those were two different groups. Don't get them confused. And Jesse Daniel Warner says, does anybody know what church the hateful group was from, if at all? So we're the hateful group, you know. What do you call darkness, light, and darkness, and haters, and good, hate? So here, Jackson J. Deal says, they got weird names, don't they? Jackson J. Deal. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Yay, one group was extremely nice to us, the Prots. The others were not. They were mean. She didn't say the others were not. Then we have Jesse Danielle Warney. Do you know what church they were from at all, if at all? Jackson J. Dale says, Caleb Cooper was the good one. That was the Protestant that was running that Protestant march. Caleb Cooper was the good one. The Catholic Church were saying, we burn in hell and we are abominations. Correct! She got it right. We are the Catholic Church. We are the Catholic. And you are going to burn in hell if you don't repent. And you are abominations. So you got, you, at least you were listening. Now I hope it sinks into your heart and you repent and convert. Now Susan Morangelio says, the creeps call themselves the real Catholics. And they have absolutely no connection to the Catholic Church in TRC or anywhere. Thank God we don't. Those guys are so effeminate, I don't want nothing to do with them. They're worse than even your conservative press. They are a cult, she's calling us a cult, that is mostly in Caballo, but we're not in Caballo. We're actually a mile outside of Williamsburg. We're in Sierra County, the ranches. But my home is actually in TRC where I live. They have a website of like John the Baptist or something. The Catholic Church in TRC is fairly open-minded. Please don't mix the two. He's open-minded. He accepts us. We can even go over there and do homo things with him in the back room. He even lets us do the homo thing over there, I'm sure. Open-minded. This group thinks that the Pope is the devil. You're wrong about the fact that he's the Pope. He's an anti-Pope. But you're right about the fact that he's a devil, Francis the First. And that everyone who isn't with them is going to hell. Correct. Anyone who's not inside the Catholic Church is on the road to hell. There is no salvation outside the Catholic Church. That's our base dogma. We call that the salvation dogma. There's only one God. Therefore, there can only be one religion and one church. And that's the Catholic Church and the Catholic religion. Outside of which, there is no salvation. All right? So they got the message. And they didn't like it. No one's been preaching to these people for so long. But it's got a lot of them thinking, and some of them reading Bible verses even. This group thinks that the Pope is the devil and everyone who isn't with them is going to hell. So we are all in good company, she said. So they're all, good company. Okay, they call themselves good. Yeah, evil company. Correction. Now here's another person that really had it the right way, though. The organizer, Sly Vogel, that one who organized the whole thing, she knew that we weren't connected, that we were different. She said, you're going to see it here, there's a lot of churches in this town, but only this one, really small one, gave us any grief. That's, are you proud of yourself, Mr. Southern Baptist? There's about five churches, we'll give the names of them here in town, all of them. And think about, I don't know, there might have been only about 50 people in their parade out of all of the churches. Yeah. This is a sappy response. Actually, we had 100% of our whole church there. All 12 of us. You laugh. There's only eight on the ark. When Noah was alive and God flooded the whole earth and killed every human being but eight. And Jesus says in Luke 18:7, when the Son of Man come, think he find faith on earth anymore? And in the Psalms it says all men are liars. God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there any be do good, any that do good, but there's not one, no, not even one that does good. That's in Psalm 13:1-3. They've all gone aside. They've turned away. They've all blasphemed God. So you laugh at this little 12. You watch what this little 12 is going to do. You just watch. There's more with us than there are with you in this whole world. We got God and all his angels and saints behind us, and you don't. Just remember that. And I warned you, don't oppose us. I'm warning you now. You oppose us, you're going to pay to the degree of your opposition times 7. Now, one of the fat birds you already saw, the guy that came across and said, what is that, a man or a girl or a man? What is that thing, you know? You saw his name. I didn't give you his name, but I'm going to show his picture again. Was a transgender freak who looks like a mixture of a male and a female. His name is Keith Collette, but he is now going as Collette because he's trying to be a girl. He used to be a more normal looking, observing how he changed over the years. Here's when he was a man, which he really was, is, born as. Here's his pictures when he was a man, is a man. And now... He finally figured out who he was, and here's what he is now. Take a look at this. Folks, let me ask you something while you're looking at that picture. You say, I'm weird? You see, I got no right to be angry? See, a guy like this, though, really, I don't even give him a chance to repent. The head comes off, and he's on a pike. I cut his private part off. I'll torture him. And then the head comes off, and I put it on a pike. Now, look what he said about us. He said, that was the vapid church group that creeped us out. We creeped him out. You know, when they had those goofy movies on, which we can't even pay, the Addams Family, you know, the monsters and stuff. These guys are monsters. This is in real life. That's what makes it more creepy. This is real life. It's not like they're going to Hollywood. This is unbelievable we're living in. Tell me we're not living in the final days. Now, the transgender that later said that it's a war, you know, and that, you know, we call them abominations. She came out and said that there's a whole crowd protesting against us. A whole crowd. It's all of us. But when we yell, we yell loud. We made it sound like 1,000. 1,000. We yelled. We chanted. Who knows? Maybe they saw a couple angels behind us. But he called us a crowd. It's nice. A crowd.
So please today, do something. Talk to someone. Make some change happen. This is in Tier C. And this tiny, tiny town still turned out this crowd that's working against us.
You see how much only small people can make? Imagine if we had a lot of people. Imagine if we had a lot of people. Let this be a lesson to you wimps in the whole United States, of the whole world. Everybody who even calls himself obeying the natural law should every year come out in their towns that they live in and protest these parades the way I'm telling you. And that's the purpose of this. Because then you will make reparation and to the natural law. Your societies will not get as bad. You'll stop them in their tracks. Your kids are going to stop being infected by them. And all positive things will start to happen if you protest against them the right and proper way. Now, about during the week when this was all over, we get some reactions when you're in town. You know, you're going through town. And we got a few reactions. Well, Brother Will, I think it was first the sisters ran into somebody. Where was it, Sister Marie?
So it was at Family Dollar.
All right, explain it.
He walked past us, Mom and myself. He walked past us and we were inside the store and he said, or we got really close and then he goes, crackpots. And so we were like, oh, okay, that must be feedback. Well, then we get out to the car because we were on the way out of the store. We got out to the car and I'm sitting in the driver's seat waiting to go. He comes out of the store and comes walking towards the car and points at us, you know, pointing at the windshield. Like, and he starts mouthing things. He was saying something and I looked at him like, what? You got a problem? You know, and then he's just like, he got mad and he just walked off.
Or say, so what should you, you should have.
Yeah, when he was saying, when he said this in the store, so you just, crackpots, yeah. I was going to say, no, crockpots are down all four.
Oh.
I never got a chance to say that because I was like, well, that's what he's talking about. But his was the main thing.
Yeah. Well, then just, okay, we're going to go to it. Now, and then you ran into somebody else. Where? Bullocks?
Yeah, we were at Bullocks in the meat department, and these two lesbians that were actually at the protest. I had seen the one, and I don't remember if I saw the other. But anyway, I told Mom, oh, those two were at the protest. But they were, like, far away. They were in the produce. So then they started coming towards us, and they obviously remembered us. Because as they got closer, she lifted up her fist and said, gay power. So Mom said, well, we'll pray for you. Feel sorry for you. We'll pray for you. And so then she says, well, you'll burn in hell for being judgmental. And then we said, well, you'll burn in hell for disobeying God's commandments. And she said, well, then I'll see you there. So it was just like, she wants to confront.
Yeah. Anyway, and Will had actually a positive confrontation. Not confrontation, a positive statement.
Right. Yeah, it was later in the week after we had done it, I was at Walmart doing my weekly shopping. And I'm checking out at the checkout. And I'm putting my stuff there, and there's a lady in front of me, and she starts looking at me, and I said, oh, okay, and I didn't think anything of it, and then I, you know, put my stuff, and then I look up again, she's still looking at me, I'm like, oh, okay, so I kept, you know, I finished putting all my stuff away on the conveyor belt thing, and then finally, she walked over to me, she goes, you know what, I just want to commend you for what you did, you know, I respect what you did. And I said, oh, wow. And I was like, well, I didn't even expect anything. And I was like, oh, wow. Well, thank you. You know, he's like, yeah. She goes, did you know so-and-so, some girl who was a lesbian in the parade? And I said, no, I don't know her. Oh, she says, yeah, she used to work for me. Well, let me tell you know, it's between a man and a woman. I said, yeah, you're right. I said, it's Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve, right? And she says, yeah. So she said, you know, thank you for what you did. And it was nice. So.
And I'm sure there's other people, too. They give you, like, not everybody wants to come up to you because they're afraid to get involved into the dispute. But some people give you, like, positive looks. And others, you know, they just walk by you real quick and give you little sneers. But that's how you convert people and bring it to people's minds without judging people. How are they going to know if they're sinners, right? Our Lord said in John 7:24, judge just judgments. And Jesus said in Luke 12:57, and why even among yourselves do you not judge that which is just? So you have to make judgments. The comments these people are making are proof of the whole world we live in is non-judgmental and non-punishmental. Except when it comes to us. They will judge us and they will punish us. Now, the newspapers, as I mentioned in the beginning, The Sentinel is more right-wing. It's even like by Prots Run, and they have prayers and all stuff in there. They didn't see anything about the parade at all. Not in the beginning nor at the end, which is to their credit. The Herald, though, they put something in after the parade, but they were afraid. You can tell they were afraid to do it, though. That shows there's still a pretty big influence in here. They're afraid, too. See, that's why this is a pivotal moment to stand up against them. But the Herald, here's what they said. Here's the article from the Herald, because we were lucky to see what they're going to say about it. And here, they just gave a picture of it with a subtitle under the picture, and it says inaugural parade. It didn't say pride parade or gay parade, inaugural parade. So you don't even know what kind of parade they're talking about yet. So they're kind of embarrassed to put it up there. And they say, a group of approximately 80 local regional New Mexicans gathered at the Triangle Park on Sunday, June 16th, to celebrate Truth or Consequences' first gay pride event. The event even attracted about a dozen protesters. They got it right, a dozen. Who followed the larger group as they made their way from the Triangle Park to the aptly named Healing Waters Plaza. Aptly named Healing Water. What do you think? There's some healing's going to go on here. Look at them. Who's getting healed here? Healed. These guys are a disease. They are a disease. The only way you get healed is by repenting and converting and confessing your sins. The event's organizers are among the area's newest arrivals and sound as if they planned to make this an annual event. The Herald photo by Carlos Padilla, who's also a homosexual, who's married to a man. The guy he married's name. He must be the girl. The girl, okay? You see, the fact, everyone has a law upon their heart. Even they do. As bad as they are, and there's as optimist as you can get, the ones we are protesting against, even when we were preaching to them, I can see that it was getting to some of them. It was hurting them. As you see from these quotes over here, right? You know, and you can't get away from the law upon your heart. So what happens to these people? They say they're happy, they're gay. First of all, they co-opt the good word gay. It's a horrible, they're not gay. They're homos and they're very sad and they're really unhappy in the long run. They have a very high suicide rate. They're drug addicts or alcoholics, but they all have a very high suicide rate. Horrible lifestyle. They're not happy and they're not gay. And just look at the suicide rates amongst them, which is proof of their whole lifestyle. And I'm not just... Yeah, even other people out in the world that aren't committing homo sins but are committing adultery or other kinds of sexual sins, they're no good neither. But the homosexuals and transgenders on the top of the list are some of the most perverse people that there could be. For more information against LGBT, visit my website at www.johnthebaptist.us and go to the homosexual/LGBT conspiracy page. Like I said, next year, some people are saying, we're going to have 800 people down here. Maybe 1,000. You watch George Soros and all those people because they know we're here. It's going to get even heated up more next year. So hold on till next year. But I hope that some people are... I also pray for it. As long as you're alive, even if you're an obstinate public homo transgender, still hope for you even. Remember when God went in and Jonah condemned Nineveh and said, you're condemned. You're dead, Nineveh. God's going to destroy you. But they put on sackcloth and ashes and repented. So even these public obstinate homos can repent as long as they're alive. If God didn't kill them yet, they're still alive. Listen to me. When we were preaching, some of them were listening to what I'm saying. So I'm not even saying they can't repent. And we still love them as human beings, but we don't love them as homosexuals. But I said it again. If I had power over them, I would kill them. I'd give them about 1 month to repent. I would torture them for that month. If they repented, then I would just kill them quickly. And then they have a chance. Then if they really repent and became Catholic, they save their soul. If not, either way, they would die. But still, this be a message to you. First, I'm doing this for the glory of God, to make reparation for blasphemies, and for my own sake, so I don't commit sins of omission, for the sake of other people out there, so they don't become full prey to this infection, so to put the fear of God down on them, to say that there is a true God that doesn't accept this stuff, to be a deterrent from future sins like this and acts like this, and then for the conversion of the very people that are committing these crimes. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.